For Pride Month, which was in June, one of our listeners, Chrissy, set up a fundraiser for Point Foundation, but she's planning to go ahead and leave it up for the rest of 2021. So please join in and donate if you can. The Point Foundation helps LGBTQ+ students achieve their goals of higher education with financial assistance, mentoring, leadership programming, and more. Your generosity helps Point provide scholarships and vital programs to a new generation of LGBTQ+ leaders. If you'd like to donate, go to our Instagram, Who's the Boss Podcast, and the link is in our bio. It's listed as Chrissy's Pride Foundation.
Hey, Tori and Kevin, this is Hillary. I am loving the podcast. It is so great to be able to go back and rewatch these episodes and then listen to a great discussion about them. I'm leaving a message today because I just finished watching or listening to Just Mona and Me, and I was very curious to hear what you guys were going to say about the whole baby thing, on whether or not that was actually Tony's real-life daughter. I've always been convinced that it was, so I was surprised when you guys said you didn't think that it was. Just watching him with the way he interacts with her and plays with her compared to how he interacted with the baby that played Clint in that episode from season one or season two. I don't know. He just seems so much more relaxed with this baby and playing with her, and the way he called her Katie Face at the end, which is obviously, you know, something that he probably called his real daughter. And even though her eyes were blue, you know, in the episode, eyes can change. I still think it's his. I really am convinced that it's his daughter. But anyways, keep up the good work. Thanks.
You never let me do anything. You didn't even think about it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. No.
You are being so unfair.
I am being a father.
What's the difference?
Oh, hey. Take it easy.
Look, I have had a very hard week at school. I have earned the right to have some fun. I am young, I am vital, I need fresh air and exercise.
You want fresh air and exercise, Sam? You want fresh air and exercise? Go upstairs, unpack your suitcase, and open a window.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to...
Hey, yo. Mo way.
The Who's the Boss Podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
We are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. So at the beginning of this episode, you heard a voice message from Hillary, and I've actually been sitting on this voice message for a bit because I was trying to get an answer, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I still so might. I'm still working on it.
We can't get an answer to that.
Hillary, I go back and forth as well. Like, I honestly don't...
Because the age is right.
The age is right, mm-hmm. But I just don't think it looks like Katie Danza. Like, when you see pictures of her as a baby, she had a very distinct look, and it doesn't look like that baby, but then why isn't that baby credited? And why do they call her Katie? And why does he say Katie Face? So I honestly don't know. But if we can ever get an answer, I will definitely share it. But thank you, Hillary, for the voice message. She's a new caller, but I recognize her name from Instagram and Facebook. So thank you.
All right.
Oh, I have a tiny bit of news.
What?
Okay, well, so we're recording. I mean, it's minuscule, like a little small nugget of news.
Mm-hmm.
Today is August 4th, 2021, which is the one-year anniversary of when Alyssa Milano and Tony Danza announced the revival.
Okay, wow.
But that's not my news.
Oh.
So then I posted in one of the Instagram stories, like, it's been a year. Any update? And Alyssa Milano wrote back to me, we're working on it, heart, heart, winky face. So that's my news.
Well.
Which we've already heard that response to another person.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, how long are we working on it without any news?
Yeah. But that's my minuscule little tiny news nugget. So working on it. Like I said, hopefully working on sending Judith Light flowers wrapped in money.
Yeah.
To please come do the revival. She is going to... I'm just thinking this off the top of my head, so I have no actual information in front of me.
Okay.
But she's going to be in the new season of American Crime Story. It's impeachment. I believe it's the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton story. Mm-hmm. Wow, Ronan, really early in the podcast. I need to go to the bathroom already. Hang on. Okay, we're back. So it's going to air on September 7th, And it doesn't say who she's playing, but an actress named Beanie Feldstein will be playing Monica Lewinsky. And when she posted a first look on Instagram, she tagged Judith Light in it. And it's Ryan Murphy, and Ryan Murphy loves Judith Light, as we all should.
Yeah.
He's a smart man. Because he's also... she was in the second season of American Crime Story, or the first, I can't remember.
Who, Judith Light?
Yeah. She's in the Versace one. Was that the first season or the
second? Second season.
Okay, yeah.
OJ was the first season.
Right, right. And she's also in The Politician, which is Ryan Murphy. So, good for Judith Light. Good for Judith Light doing all these things that aren't the revival. Good for her. Today we're going to cover season 5, episode 7. The title is Life with Father, first aired on Tuesday, December 13th, 1988. And the TV Guide summary says, Tony and Samantha each take a ride down memory lane after Samantha disobeys her father and takes off for Vermont.
Hmm.
So this is a clip show that we were talking about last week.
Right.
But it does have a bit of a story in there, but this is probably going to be a shorter episode because there's a lot of content that we've already covered.
Right, right, right.
But surprisingly, oh, I'm sorry, you do your summary.
Yeah, I was waiting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I didn't know if you had more to say there.
No, just the writers.
All right. So Tony wisely forbids Sam to drive to Bonnie's parents' cabin for a weekend in Vermont with an immature sister as chaperone. They go anyway, leaving him worried sick, especially as the weather report is stormy. Meanwhile, Bonnie gets tired of guilty Sam's recollections of overprotective Tony and bites back that it's better than her absent, uninterested dad, which ends up making Sam reconsider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna dug deep.
Yeah, I mean, she nibbled back. Her dad's there. He gave her that car. I think her dad's just way more not as fun as Tony, maybe. Okay, well, surprisingly for being a clip show, this has three writers. Ken Cinnamon, Karen Wengrod, and Danny Callis. I think that's how you say that, but I'm not absolutely sure. But I am wondering if Ken Cinnamon and Karen Wengrod are noted here because of the flashback scenes, but I'm not positive that all of those flashbacks are their episodes.
Oh, interesting.
But Danny Callis will go on to write quite a few. So his first episode was Model Daughter, and this is his second. But he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 episodes total. Could have counted that before I started the podcast, but I didn't because I'm not a professional. And okay, so that's right? We did who wrote it. Okay, and we did what he did. So,
all right.
When this mini episode starts, Tony is just getting home from school. And Samantha, being the child that she is standing in the living room ready to pounce as soon as the poor guy walks through the door.
I know.
All he wants to do is come home, put his books down. It's Friday, and she's already got to ask him something. So she says, "Hi, Dad." And he's like, "Hello, Samantha. How's it going?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm good. How are you?" And he says, "All I can say is TGIF. S." She's like, "What does that mean?" "Thank goodness it's Friday, Sam."
Does he say goodness?
Oh, does he say God?
I don't know.
Oh.
I should have known that.
I don't know. Hang on.
Sorry.
He says thank God. Thank God it's Friday, Sam.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
And she's like, "Oh, you have such a sense of humor. God. You're so witty. What is happening?"
I know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to react, but this cat is not going to make it.
One of our cats just jumped on the shelf. Stand by.
Okay, all right.
Okay, we're back again. I'm very sorry. Seriously, the cat just took out a line of books on the bookshelf.
Yeah.
He's very large and very clumsy, and it's a small shelf. So Sam says, "What a sense of humor. You're so witty, so outrageous, so off the wall." And Tony said, "What do you want?"
Yep.
He knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not dumb. This isn't his first rodeo. She says, "Well, Bonnie's parents," and I feel like Alyssa Milano flubs the line here a little bit, but we know that they didn't stop and do it over again unless you really like fell down and broke something.
Yeah.
She says, "Bonnie's parents aren't using their condo." She kind of hesitates a tiny bit before condo.
Mm-hmm.
"Condo in Vermont. And I cleaned my room and I did all my homework. And I have plenty of money for Lyft tickets and food, and my tank is full, and my tire pressure is 32 PSI. I guess that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just funny. That's very Tony
to teach her
that her tires need to be at 32 PSI.
It's very cute. She's like, so what do you say? And he says, no. She's like, come on. And he's like, you are not old enough to go away on your own for the weekend. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
At 16?
Yeah.
Whole weekend?
Scary.
No, they're going to get into
without
something.
Without a parent?
Yeah, they're going to get into something they're not supposed to. She says, Dad, that's so sweet, but you don't have to worry because there will be a chaperone there. Bonnie's older sister is already up there. And he's like, well, then definitely no. And she's like, why? And he says, she's not responsible. She took you to a concert one time and forgot to bring you home. But Sam says she didn't forget to bring us home. She got a backstage pass to go meet the drummer. That's even worse.
It is. It's awful.
I didn't know Bonnie had
a... She just abandoned them.
Right. I didn't know Bonnie had a sister. So the sister that we've never met, I mean, what do you think? She's maybe 21, like just old enough to buy them alcohol. So they really should not be going
right
to this cabin with her.
Yeah. See, you're thinking like a parent.
I know. She says, you never let me do anything. You didn't even think about it. So then he's like, okay, no, still no.
Yeah.
And now she's getting mad. She's like, you're so unfair. You're being so unfair. He says,
well, and he
no.
did do the like sarcastic, let me think about it. No.
Yeah.
Like, and when I get that way sometimes with the kids, like, Isla gets really worked up.
Yes, because of course that's not what you want to hear when you're
I
a kid.
Know, and it's not right.
But this is also not how Tony wants to spend his Friday night. So when I first watched this show, I would have not cared at all about Tony's problems. I would have only been interested in what Samantha wanted to do and thinking like, damn, that'd be fun to go away for a weekend with just your friends.
I know.
A whole condo. But now I'm just thinking that Tony wants to put his books down in the kitchen, open a beer, and sit on the couch.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Why is that cat still crying?
I don't know. Because he hates us.
She says, you're being so unfair. And he says, no, I'm being a father. And she's like, what's the difference? And Ooh. Now he's getting worked up. He's like, oh, take it easy. And she says, I've had a hard week at school. I've earned the right to have some fun. I'm young and vital, and I need fresh air and exercise. And he's like, okay, you want fresh air and exercise? Go upstairs, unpack your suitcase, because over in the corner, she has her bag completely packed and ready to go.
Right, ready to go.
Unpack your suitcase and open a window. And he storms off into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So then she grabs her suitcase and her jacket and storms out the front door right as Angela and Mona are coming in from work, I'm guessing. Thank goodness it's Friday. And they ask Sam, where are you going? She says, nowhere, and leaves. And Mona's like, well, at least she's packed for it. Like, they were not concerned at all that child just left with a
suitcase,
a duffel bag and a jacket.
Yeah, I mean a duffel bag, yeah.
So Tony comes out of the kitchen just then, because of course he's, oh, how did that happen? Ooh, sorry. Somehow I kicked my mic over. I don't know how I did that. So he comes out of the kitchen because he's like really, you know, when you go in there and you start thinking more about how mad you are at them, then you have to come back out and yell at them some more. And he's like, you know what? I don't like your tone either. Where'd she go?
Right.
And Mona and Angela say, she went that way, and they point out the front door. Okay, now watch Judith Light here. Tony goes running out the front door, and Angela hops out of the way and up onto the stairs.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. I didn't notice that the first time I watched
She's about to get run over by him.
Right.
So he goes out the open door, and he can see she's getting in the car. We don't see this. We just see Tony at the door. And he's like, Samantha, you come back here. Do you hear me?
You know what's funny about this scene is they try to do a thing, I think, where you see headlights on him. But
right.
It's like the headlights go on and then they just never turn off, I think. I guess. Or maybe that's the porch light. No, like there's the headlights turn on.
Right.
But then they just never go away. Like she doesn't pull away. I don't know. It's weird.
But she does because she's going to like drive. They must have not turned them off because she's going to like peel out.
Right. And
she doesn't listen to him and she leaves. And he says, oh, the stereo must have been blasting. And Angela and Mona are not going to say no. So they're just shaking their heads like, yep.
Yeah, they don't want to get involved in this little domestic dispute.
Yeah. So here we are in Sam's car again. So it's very dim But as she's outside of Bonnie's house, Bonnie's getting in the car, and you can tell that it's Sam's car. I see some reflectors, and it's large, like a tank. So here's Sam's car again. She still has it. I guess some of the brake lights have been removed, like they compromised, but we can't see that part of the
right,
car.
Right, right. We don't know.
Now, it's interesting that they're doing this clip show, but then I was thinking it's December, so maybe, you know, it's kind of like ratings go down in December anyway, and they are going to have a Christmas episode this year. And also...
Yeah, and maybe something was airing that night, some kind of Christmas special that...
Right, yes. That's a good point. And
I don't know. I'm just...
Episodes like this probably save them some money, too, because it only takes place in the house and in this...
And it has old clips.
In this car, right, yeah. So it's in the house for part of it. This one car, which they already have the car, so it's just putting this in an area where they can shoot this. There's no other sets that are built. And, yeah, it's a lot of clip stuff. So I wonder if they just figured, oh, we'll just do one of these to fill time.
Yeah, but, I mean, I feel like it's an oddly placed...
clip show.
Right, like where it is in the season, but...
But it is cute. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, because I didn't think that there was as much meat to it in the middle.
Yeah, no, it is. It's actually not bad for a clip show. Like, the story... Sometimes they're just one after the other.
Right, you know? I don't know. Yeah. So, Bonnie comes out, she gets in the car, and she's like, all right, this is going to be so much fun. And then Sam's not going anywhere, so she's like, we're going, right? And Sam's like, Bonnie, I just walked out on my father. So Bonnie's like, great, then we're going.
I know. So Bonnie's like, whatever.
But Sam's still like, she wants to go, but she knows that this is not the right thing to do. She's like, he said no four times. And then his nostrils started to flare one by one. But Bonnie's like, look, Sam, just make up your mind. Because if we don't hurry, by the time we get there, all the good-looking guys' names Fenn will be taken.
Yeah, and I looked that up, like, if there's any significant meaning, and it's just, like, Swedish, you know,
just, like, they're going to a ski resort.
I think there was a professional skier named Sven something.
Oh.
I thought, but whatever. I mean, right, it just must be.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of like they're going skiing.
So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, anyway, it is funny.
Yeah. That's all I got.
But Sam's so angry. She's like, his favorite word is no. Okay, so now Sam's going to recount a couple of times that he said no to her that we didn't see. The first time I wanted to go to a PG movie, he said no. The first time I wanted to wear lipstick, he said no. The first time I wanted to go to a dance, he said yes. And Bonnie's like, oh, well, he said yes. She said, oh, but there was a catch.
Mm.
So they go to the first clip, which is when Samantha went to the dance with Bobby, and then Tony was a chaperone. So I'm not going to recap these clips because we've seen them, but we've only been doing this podcast for a year, and already when we see these clips, she is so tiny.
I know. She is so cute.
She is so adorable.
Yeah. And of course, this is a good clip because it has Peter Billings
yes.
in it.
Yeah. Another great guest star who is also tiny and adorable.
Yeah.
So then Sam's like, talk about, Bonnie says, talk about father overkill. And Sam's like, oh yeah, well, remember the hickey? So now they go to another clip, and Bonnie was there for this one. So it's when Tony walks into Samantha's room after she's gotten the hickey from Todd, and she and the girls are in there. It's Marcy, Bonnie, and Julia. Marcy and Julia we will never see again. But here they are when they were younger.
They're two on the ends, right, yeah.
Yeah, on the outside of
Bonnie. Right. Oh, this is the last one for Nicole Eggert?
Well, this is a clip, but yeah. But I mean, I think she might have done more after the hickey episode.
Oh, gotcha.
But she hasn't been on the show, and we won't actually see her, you know, in present day ever again. After the hickey scene, they go back to the house, where Tony is on the phone trying to get a hold of someone. And he's like, great, there's no answer at Bonnie's house, and I can't believe she did this. And he's angry. He's like, she's never defied me before. She's acting like a, and Mona says, a teenager.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, how did this happen? And he sits down. But Angela says, she's probably just having pizza right now, pouring her heart out, complaining what a terrible, insensitive, unfair parent you are. And Tony says, I hope so. Because that's actually the better scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Than his kid taking off and going to Vermont.
Yeah.
Mona says, you know what would make you feel a whole lot better? Marching into that kitchen, making a little lasagna, a Caesar salad, some garlic bread, And Angela says, "Mother." She's like, "Well, I missed lunch."
It's just so like Mona.
So Mona.
I know. Like, so, only giving crap about herself.
Right. They came home from work and she just wants dinner. Mona, go to your own apartment and pop a hungry man in the microwave.
No kidding.
poor Tony cannot make dinner tonight. He's very upset. Angela says, "You know, Tony, I'm a pretty good judge of character." Really, Angela? Are we sure about that?
Yeah, we did.
And she says, "Sam would not go off to Vermont without your permission. She'll be back." And he's like, "Are you sure?" And she's like, "Yes, I'm sure." Well, just then Jonathan walks in the room and he's not so sure. And he says, "Nope, there's no way. She's gone. She's run away before." So now we cut to the clip where Samantha and Jonathan run away to Brooklyn. This is in the episode Angela's First Fight in the first season.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I remember this one.
Again. I know, Jonathan's so little face. Cute. I know. He's so tiny. And then little Samantha comes down the stairs and they're talking about flinging the dead rat. Like, I can't believe we've only been, I mean, we've gotten through quite a lot, but it doesn't seem...
to see how much they've aged.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Even seeing them a year later, watching this show as quickly as we have been, they're so cute. Jonathan says, "You know, when she gets something in her head and she makes up her mind, there's no stopping her." Well, yeah. That's not what Tony wanted to hear.
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
And a side note, just looking Connecticut to Vermont.
Oh, yes,
it's a
please.
4-hour and 21-minute yes. drive, 260 miles. That's right. Just Connecticut's Vermont. I didn't know exact locations,
right,
but
yeah.
You're looking at least 4.5 hours.
Yeah, and it was already dark
go
when
drive.
She left.
Right. And
it could have been like 6 o'clock, 6:30.
Right, so yeah. They're not getting there until 10 or 11.
Right.
So
how long do you think she... And then she had to go to Bonnie, so they're not far.
No.
Wherever they are right now.
No, not at all.
Tony says, "I'm going after her." And Angela's like, "What are you going to do? You're going to drive all the way to Vermont and then make a big scene in front of her friends?" And Tony says, "I don't make scenes."
Mm.
And then Mona goes,
"Right."
And they look at her and she goes, "It was a hunger pain." As not helpful as she is in this episode, I enjoy these Mona parts because they're pretty funny.
I know. She's just sometimes, Mona's just so out there.
I know.
It's great.
Just so not helpful.
I know.
And Tony's like, "All right, so I made one little scene one time. One little disastrous scene."
Yeah, this one was brutal.
Yes. So they cut to a flashback of when Tony went to the college library looking for Samantha and Mason. So he's confronting Skeeter, who he thinks is Mason, and then he realizes it's not. And then Adam Carl, who we love here, falls off of the ladder.
I know.
Now we need to
into Tony's arms.
Adam Carl's going to be on an episode in two episodes. Teacher's Pet. He'll be back for season 5. We need to pay attention to how much shorter he is than Tony here, because I'm curious to see how much he grew as well. So I'd say he's a good 4 inches.
Yeah.
4 inches shorter than Tony here. So we're gonna have to remember that when his episode comes out.
Yeah, his forehead's like up to Tony's nose almost.
Yeah.
So.
Then they go back to the living room, and he's like, "Okay, well, nobody's perfect." But Angela, again, is like, "You know what? She's a bright kid. Just give her some space. She'll realize that running out was not the right thing to do, and she'll come home." And Tony's like, "You're right. Any minute now, she's going to walk through that door, look up at me with those big brown puppy dog eyes, and say, 'Dad, you were right. Can you ever forgive me?'" I'm really surprised that Tony's being as calm as he is here. Like, you would think that he would have left the very first time he was planning to. Like, he would have left as soon as she left and just followed her down the street. Okay, the antenna TV version's a little different here. So on the Roku version, they cut back to Sam and she's like, "I'm telling you, Bonnie, he's out of control." And Bonnie is getting fed up. She's like, "Sam, are we going or not? Because by the time we get there, the only thing that's going to be left are geeks, nerds, and guys named Walter."
Oh, sorry, anybody named Walter. No. It's not nice.
"I'm sure you're a lovely person and a delight to be with." Sam says, "Don't even get me started on guys. Anytime I get within an arm's length of one, he freaks out." So now we do a couple little short flashbacks. One is Samantha coming in to the kitchen back door with Chad McCann's arm around her. Tony says, "Chad, arm off." Then they cut to when Sam was in the episode Model Daughter, and she was swishing in her little ski outfit. And the photographer was telling another model to get a little closer to her. And then Tony yelled, "That's close enough."
I know.
And then the scene where Jesse and Samantha have their first kiss, and Tony walks in. And he does the...
Tony walks in the tightest yellow shirt you've ever seen in your life.
It is, but I love that shirt. I enjoy that shirt.
Yeah, it's good look.
Yeah.
Good look.
And he says, "Samantha."
I know.
Then they go back to Sam in the car, and now she's fired up. She's like, "Bonnie, fasten your seatbelt. We're going. Vermont, here we come."
Oh, boy.
So that's where Antenna TV picks up. But then Antenna TV cuts out another chunk.
Right. They've cut out the first song.
Yeah. So the first song they're listening to when the car is driving down the road is Bad, or a cover of Bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Do you think
one.
It was ever the original cover?
I wonder about that, if they're the original. But I mean, even to play the covers, you still have to play something, maybe I would guess.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, they're eating cheeseburgers and they're singing and dancing around. And Sam says, "This is the best cheeseburger I've ever had. I think it has something to do with freedom and being on the open road."
Mm.
And Bonnie's like, "Or the fact that the guy who served them to us was totally gorgeous."
No, that's probably it.
Now the song switches to Beastie Boys' "Fight for Your Right to Party."
Yeah.
And Bonnie's like, "Oh man, I love this song." And Sam says, "You should have seen it live." But Bonnie's like, "I never knew that you went to the Beastie Boys concert." But I guess Sam didn't tell her because she was embarrassed because she had to go with her dad.
Right.
Probably. She's like, "Yeah, because I went with him." So they cut to a flashback of Sam in front of the mirror in her cute little outfit when she was getting ready to go to the Beastie Boys concert, singing and dancing in front of the mirror. And Angela comes down and is like, "Oh, I'm so excited that your dad's letting you go to this concert." And she says, "Yeah, because I have a ticket right next to him."
Yeah.
And then Tony comes down in ripped jeans and spiked up hair. And Samantha starts screaming no when he picks her up and he drags her out the front door.
And that was the end of the episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I feel like they freeze here in a different spot. Like in the actual episode,
well, they
I don't
keep freezing
think
in all these flashbacks.
I know. In the actual episode, they don't freeze until she's actually like clinging to
the
front door,
right.
On the
way
out.
I remember
out.
That. Yeah.
But when they go back to present day in the car, Bonnie's like, "Really? He ripped his jeans and moosed his hair?" She's like, "I think that's actually pretty cool." And Sam's like, "Seriously?" And Bonnie's like, "Yeah, I mean, my dad would never do that for me. He doesn't own jeans, he doesn't wear jewelry, and he doesn't have hair."
Oh, God.
Poor Bonnie's dad.
Poor Bonnie's dad.
Now, back at home, Angela and Mona are watching the news, where they have a bunch of weather advisories. They're talking about pileups on the road and all this stuff. Terrible weather out there. So Tony's like, "Oh, man, I'm really going after her now." But they're like, "No, this is the news in Montana." Why would they have news when they know about the pileups in Montana?
Where are they getting news from, Montana? It's not like they have the internet that, or like some streaming service that has a bunch of different news.
Was it did they have the Weather Channel back then, maybe?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, does the Weather Channel go that far back?
I don't know. So Angela's like, no, it's the weather in Montana. And he's like, "You know how the weather works. First it's there, then it's Chicago, and the next thing you know, it's over Sam's car."
Okay. All right.
But Angela's trying to talk him down, and he's like, "You know what? It's no use. Like, we know she's gone, and she's not coming back. She's probably halfway there by now." And Mona's like, "No, more like two-thirds."
Thanks, Mona.
I know. And then Tony's like, "Where did I go wrong?" And Mona's like, "Well, you overestimated the traffic on the interstate." He says, "No, I mean as a father." And he sits down. And then Angela sits down next to him. And Tony says, "You know, I read an article about kids with strict parents. Sooner or later, they go to drugs and sex, and they go on ski trips."
And there it is.
And Mona says, "The parents or the kids?" I like that one, Mona.
I know. Once again.
But Angela says, "Tony, don't be so hard on yourself. Mona says, "Tony, don't be so hard on yourself. You're doing an okay job." But Angela says, "You're doing more than okay. You are doing a great job as a father and as a mother." And that makes Tony remember something. And he's like, "Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty okay as a father, but The mother thing I wasn't ready for.
Oh, boy.
They cut to when Tony went to buy Sam her first bra.
Foundation garment.
With this lady who I love as the salesperson. And so he doesn't want to get it for her. She shows him the most popular preteen model. And he's like, it looks like a surgical bandage. And then she's like, does your daughter need something bigger? And he says, no. You know, if anything, my daughter doesn't need one at all. Then he goes home and he gives it to her. And at first she's disappointed. So he's like, I knew you didn't want this. But she says, no, I wanted one with a little bow in the middle, the like Marcy's. Bow. Yeah. And so they cut to Sam back in the car. And she's still going on about her dad. So then she says, you know, and then there was the time on Halloween when he followed me around the whole entire night with an umbrella. And it wasn't even raining. I feel like this is a slap in the face to us. She's bringing up a Halloween episode that we never got to see.
Yeah, pretty much.
Why did we never get a Halloween episode of Who's the Boss?
I don't know. Do we ever, never, you know for a fact that there wasn't one ever?
I'm almost positive.
Wow. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that as I don't remember one, and we haven't, and we're five seasons in, and we haven't seen one yet. I mean, maybe at the end, but I don't think so. I think I would have remembered that. So yeah, he followed her around with an umbrella the whole night, even though it wasn't raining. But Bonnie's like, Sam, are we going to talk about your dad all night? Because it's really bringing this whole weekend down. And she says, you know what? Your dad's not that bad. Like, he's a little overprotective, but he let you go to the beach party. And he let you go to the Y trip to Washington. And he was going to let you go to that private school that you wanted to go to. Sam's like, okay, well, I thought we weren't going to talk about my dad all night. So Bonnie's like, okay, great. So she turns around to take a little nap.
Yep.
On the rest of the drive. And then that put a little seed in Samantha's mind. Because now she's like, you know what? My dad's really not that bad.
Right.
And now we go to a flashback where he tells her that she can go to the Montague Academy if she wants to. And, you know, he's like, but what if you get sick? She's like, there's a nurse. And he's like, okay, fine. But, you know, you're still my little girl. And no matter how old you are, you're always going to be my little girl.
Yep.
And then they have a sweet little goodnight where she says goodnight to him and he says goodnight back. And then they cut back to Sam and she's still thinking and you see Bonnie sleeping. Then back at home, they cut to Mona sleeping.
On the couch.
So Mona came home from work, just wanted dinner, didn't get
any. Did she drink her lunch? Right. What's wrong with her?
Then she lays down on the couch and just passes out. Never mind going back to your own apartment. So now she's lying on the couch, and she's really, like,
she's
loud and, like,
noises.
Just grumbling and mumbling and rolling around. Tony says, I don't know how I got through puberty. And I look ahead, and I get really scared. Like, how am I going to deal with the first time she goes away to college, the first time she falls in love, the first time she... Angela, hold my hand.
Angela, hold my hand.
And she does hold his hand.
And then Mona rolls over right, in the back. Like an old man back there sleeping.
But Angela's like, you know, Tony, you got through all of those and you'll get through whatever the future holds. And he will. He will get through that.
Yep.
We're going to see her fall in love. We're going to see her go to college. We're going to see her fall in love. And when they don't show her like actual first time, but we assume that it was when she was married. Okay, so Tony's kind of got a wistful look on his face and he starts to think about stuff and he's like, yeah, you know, I've come really far from Pickin Avenue to Oak Hills Drive.
That's right.
And now we go to the flashback from the very beginning of the show when Sam and Tony are getting in the van to drive to Connecticut for the first time. And I think the cutest thing about this part is he asks her, did you have everything? And she says, yes, daddy.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard Sam call him daddy in a long time.
Yeah.
Which is really cute. And then Rosini's like, what are you going to do for a living? And he says, you know, I got a great job. And she's like, you said you'd never leave Brooklyn. You love Brooklyn. He says, I know, but I love my daughter a lot more.
Yeah, that's right.
So they cut back to Tony and Angela on the couch. And he's like, you know what? I'd do anything for that kid. And then he hops up again. And he's like, I'd do anything but let her drive to Vermont on a dark and stormy night. He heads for the front door again. And then we see Bonnie waking up in Sam's car. And she's like, are we in Vermont?
And Sam's gone. Like she abandoned her.
So then we go back to the house where Tony opens up the front door to leave, and there's Sam. This is a very sweet scene where she's like, I was half on my way to Vermont, but I knew you didn't want me to go, so I started thinking about things, and it seemed like a really long way to go for a little bit of snow. I do agree with that. Like this 4.5 hour drive to be there for like a day and a half.
To Sunday, you know, Friday to Sunday.
Yeah. It's really not worth it. But when you're 16 and just the idea of going somewhere that you're not supposed to go by yourself, you would drive 12 hours to make it.
That's true.
Yeah. If you had to. And she's like, so I came home. And he's all, I didn't even know you were gone. And then they hug.
Right.
Meanwhile, you'd be like, get your ass upstairs.
Yeah.
Go to your room right now. And don't come down until Sunday. I love this tag so much. Okay. Mona's still sleeping. Tony's sitting in the side chair. But Angela and Samantha are all like cuddled up on the end of the couch.
Yep.
So it's really sweet how much they're like sitting close together like this. I don't know that we've ever actually seen them this physically affectionate with each other.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Angela says, you know, I'm just happy that you're back safe and sound with the family. And Tony's like, yeah, I mean, isn't it better to be here than out, you know, on some snowy and cold ski slope surrounded by strangers? And Sam sits up. And even when she sits up, Angela's still like playing with her hair, which is it's a thing that you would really do with your child.
Exactly.
Like, you know, very just like stand there and motherly, like play with their hair and stuff. You're not going to do that with someone that you don't really feel that kind of affection for. And she's like, I just feel bad because Bonnie doesn't have anybody to go to Vermont with.
Hmm.
So is Bonnie still
sitting in the car?
Because yeah, then Mona suddenly wakes up and she says, I'll see you Monday, and goes running out the front door.
No, boy. And so yeah, Bonnie's still looking around the car wondering where Sam went. What the hell?
And they're all cozied up here like she's been back for at least 20 minutes.
I know, right? It's been a while.
Bonnie's just freezing in the car. But also, when you see during this tag, if you listen, I feel like you hear Mona say Bonnie and then you hear the front door slam. Because you know how they always let the audio go longer than the freeze frame?
Yeah,
which is pretty funny. And that is the end of the episode. Wow, we haven't had an episode that we covered this quickly since season one. Well, we're at 36 minutes.
Not a lot to cover.
I know, yeah, there were a lot of gaps in it. Okay, so you go first with rating?
Yeah, yes, I believe I do.
Okay, go.
I gave this just a 7.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to it as far as a new story, obviously, but I enjoyed seeing the flashbacks. They picked a couple of good ones, and I loved seeing the kids when they were little. So cute, you know?
Yeah, so cute.
And but in the end, there still was like a story interlaced within it, rather than I just remember a lot of clip shows being like people sitting on the couch, or we're locked in an elevator,
right.
We just recap. Remember the time, you know, there was a little story to it where,
yeah, there really was.
You know, Tony and Samantha had this moment of like, she left, you know, oh, wow, she's doing something that she's never done before. And then, I don't know, new territory for them.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being okay in the end. Like, she made the right decision to come home. And he, you know, kind of probably felt like he was a little hard on her or whatever. And I thought it was a 7.
Okay, great. Yeah, I gave it a 6.5. Just because it's a clip show, so it was kind of thin, but I agree with what you're saying. Like, there was an actual story that kind of put the clips together. And I like that Tony and like Angela and Mona, well, Mona wasn't much help, but Mona's Angela useless. Was really right there with him like the whole night. I like how she says that she's happy that Sam's back home with the family and like how affectionate they are, which is really cute. And yes, the kids are just so darn cute.
I mean, Mona was there. She was just asleep on the couch.
And poor Jonathan. He got one little tiny scene.
And then go to your room.
Then go play in traffic again. He's out making snow angels or doing something. Yeah.
Who's the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I chose Samantha as the boss. Because Tony never actually did go after her, and she made the decision to come home.
Yep. That's it, huh?
I know, that's it. It's short and sweet as the episode.
It is, because just like the episode. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. She ended up going and then leaving, and she all made her own decisions throughout the whole episode, but in the end made the best decision, which was to come home.
Right.
So yes, I agree with you. I thought it was Samantha as well.
Like, if I had to pick a second, I would have gone with Angela. But
no,
Sam,
Mona just sleeping on the couch.
Right. No help.
No help at all.
And Jonathan just scared Tony.
Right.
And
so
Tony
he's
wants
used.
To get
out of here.
Panic mode.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram or Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter. On Facebook, we have a page called Who's the Boss Podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can leave us a voice message. So the next episode we're going to cover is called A Spirited Christmas. It is the Ooh. Least favorite Christmas episode, I believe, from the fans.
I got excited it was a Christmas episode.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I'm wondering if I'm going to like it more than I think I will. So let's see.
All
but
right.
I know that it's not a favorite amongst the fans.
All right.
So we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.